listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I met a gypsy and she hit me to some life game to stimulate and activate the left and right brain. Said, baby boy, you only funky as your last cut. You focus on the past, your ass will be a has what. That's one to live out. Either that's one to die to. I try to just throw it at you. Determine your own adventure, Andre. Got to a station. Here's my destination. She got off the bus. The conversation lingered in my head for hours. Took a shower, kind of sour because my favorite group ain't coming with it. But I'm with you anyway because you probably, going through it anyway. But in a high, went in doubt, went on out and bought it because I thought it would be jamming. But examine all the flowski. Wowski is awfully sad and it's costly, but that's all she wrote. And I hope I never had to float in that boat up Shit's Creek. It's weak. It's the last quote that I want to hear when I'm going down. When all said it's done and they got a new Joe in town. When the record player get to skipping and slowing down, all y'all can say is them niggas earn their crown. But until then, I had hushed that fuzz. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen. Everybody moves
to the back of the bus. You wanna rock and stomp with us? We the type of people make the club get crunk.
Get down. That's my jam.
We are live on a Wednesday, Walking Dead Wednesday, ready to end the week and ready to give you guys some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody that takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And we are sponsored today. We're actually double sponsored.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So of course, you know, shout out our productions, the makers of YouTube comedy web series Book Crushers. They got another one out this week. It's called the Magic. They went in on Magic Kingdom for Sale, Ring World, and the original soul selling story Faust. Please be sure to comment, as that is especially useful for the algorithms. I will put the link in the show notes. You guys can click on it, like it. You guys have been doing a great job clicking things, liking it, commenting. It helps us out, it helps them out. They love when you guys do that. We also are still being sponsored by our newest sponsor, Healthy Roots Dolls. That's right. Today's podcast brought to you by Healthy Roots Dolls. Healthy Roots Dolls wants to help you skip that trip to the toy store and potentially the ER fighting over baby dolls for your baby doll this Black Friday.
Come on.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, African American Friday. Okay. I'm woke. But, we see the videos every year of somebody getting punched in their face over the last doll,
whatever,
and
the doll whatever the hottest thing is at the time,
and the doll don't even be looking like your little Black kid. Okay, you punch the people over little white Cabbage Patch dolls. Why don't you go ahead and go to Healthy Roots? For the first time ever, you can bring Zoe home this Christmas. When you order your doll, use code TBGWT at checkout and you will also get a free curl care kit with $40 worth of products from Shea Moisture, Cantu, Mixed Chicks, and more when you visit healthyroosdoll.com and use code TBGWT at checkout. I'm telling you, one, everything over there is on sale, right? Number one. Number two, you getting $40 worth of products for free?
For free.
It paid for itself.
Come on.
This is just stupid on your part if you don't take advantage of this, okay? We talk about body image, talk about hair, we talk about all this stuff, accepting yourself, and a lot of women can tell you, like, they didn't have these dolls when they were kids, so they didn't really have a choice of growing up. So yo, I would like to see people do that. Zoe is not just a doll painted brown, okay? It's not just Barbie, but let's turn the plastic tent down a couple of notches. It's not that. And the sale ends Monday the 26th, and you need to order it now if you want to get it in time for the holidays. So the orders is going to run out, so make sure you guys go ahead and do this now, because it's first come, first serve, limited quantity available, and trust, you don't want to miss out on this and be like, oh man, you guys are right, these dolls look so cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into our Walking Dead recap, because you know we have to do it for the people that's not here no more. Pour out a little liquor for all the people that got helicoptered out of the show. Okay,
come on.
All That's right. It's episode 7 of season 9, which is the 122nd episode of the entire series.
Wow.
It's called Stradivarius, or Stradivarius, I believe. Which was, it took its name from a, like, instrument, some type of violin looking thing that they found in the stash of who I am calling the ASL crew now. Okay? That is the American Sign Language crew, because I don't have a name for them. I know they call Walker sickos, but we're just gonna start calling that crew because they all speak ASL.
Yes, they do.
Which is such a handy ZPOC thing. I think everyone should be learning it now.
Yes, it should be the standard. That way you won't have police officers shooting people thinking they're throwing gang signs when they actually are doing sign language.
Right. So that's what it was named after. It the lowest ratings. I told you we'd be getting these articles several times this year. Mm-hmm. 4.79. This is low. That's low as it can get, just about. I mean, well, till next week, right? And as always, before we get into the breakdown, break it down of the episode, I have to ask you, Karen, what'd you think about Stradivarius?
I loved it. I had a ball. I really do think that the episodes since Rick has, he didn't die, but since he disappeared, have been good, because they're actually moving. They're going towards something, and I'm excited about what they're going towards, and they're not really dragging their feet, in my opinion, and I am here for it.
Alright. I thought it was just alright. A lot of sitting around, a lot of talking, a lot of waiting for something to happen. And I feel like whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen next week. And
correct.
This was kind of the filler. I do think it's doing some groundwork that we do need. I want to get to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite parts of the episode were, you know, because there was a lot of talking and stuff, but some of my favorite parts were the talking. You know, I'm learning which of these characters I like, and you know, who has connections to who and stuff like that. And the different personalities of the people in the crew, and I kind of like that, you know. And then I'm also, I like the idea of putting together the work of guessing what happened in those 5 years between the last time we saw Rick and now. I know some, that's probably tedious to some folks, but I like doing both. I like the work of where are they going in the future, and what is the cause of the divides between the communities now. Because I was guessing that Rick dying was going to give the show a way out, to say, and then because he died, he's like a martyr, quote unquote, you know, died in quotes, because he's a martyr and we're all coming together. And it seemed like that has not been the case.
No, and I could see this reality being, that time it's funny, a real reality for a lot of people. Okay, that nigga died, or at least we think he's dead. Shit didn't change just because he's not here no more. We still have these problems. We still have these issues. In fact, him leaving may have made him worse.
Yeah, I mean, his work was to keep everyone together, and like I said, I didn't know, this is all a guess, and I guess I'm finding out now. We'll find out specifically what happened, but at the time I thought, oh, this is a cool way to be like, and then 5 years later everything was cool because, you know, he died, and for everybody to like see, but they didn't even rebuild that bridge. And then in real life, Martin Luther King died. It's not like everybody came by yard and came together. They still hate niggas to this day. So I can see why I wouldn't go that way. All right. So we have three locations this time. We have Daryl's campsite, the road to Hilltop, and then Hilltop itself. I think I shall start with Daryl's campsite. It's the most isolated from the rest of the story, and the other two locations kind of tie together. Okay.
Okay.
Daryl's campsite. Carol and Henry are chilling, you know, they had just walked up on Daryl, and I thought it was gonna be like a real quick visit, or like, come on, asshole, hop on in, we're going to Hilltop, and it was not that.
Mm-mm, because Daryl seems like, from them telling us but kind of not telling us, he's been out there for a while. Like he's like, I like being by myself, I like the quietness, not dealing with people.
Yeah, he's just out in the world doing his thing. just yeah. living off the land, living that doomsday prepper lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And he was already kind of prepared for that before the quote-unquote end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of those things too, to where a lot of his time out there has been looking for Rick.
Well, also, it just feels like Daryl's the only character that would be doing what he's doing if there was no Z-Pac.
Right.
Like, Daryl would just be living up in, like, the Appalachians or some shit. The Appalachians.
Mm-hmm.
And just chilling.
Yeah, eat animals and skinning them. And, yeah, eating snake jerky and rabbit jerky and being fine.
So, yeah, he has a dog now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, he has a dog. You want to know the dog's name? Dog.
Right? So creative.
Yeah, so Carol's kind of being motherly about him. You know, she's been like a mother figure. They bonded in like season 3 or 4 over the fact that they both were abused, mm-hmm. whether it was Daryl's brother and father or it was her husband. You know, like they you know, she didn't call him Pookie this week, but you know, they share something, a bond. And so Carol is worried about him. She's like, when's the last time you ate? And he's like, dog ate yesterday. She's like, I asked when you ate, and then he didn't answer. And they showed that Daryl kills a snake with an arrow, a snake that's climbing a tree, and then cuts the head off, puts it in his pocket, which I don't know, is that good eating? Like, what is the
I don't know. It's so you won't get poisoned. It has to be a purpose behind that.
Yeah. And like, was that a poisonous snake? It looked like a black snake. I mean, if it's a tree, like, only I think rat snakes can climb trees that way.
Jay, you asking the wrong one. I don't
know. D-Pom will tell you. Okay, he will volunteer that information on social media. Now he kind of skipped over the tree snake, but apparently rat snakes can climb the bark with their scales. So, and that's what it looked like that tree was doing.
You mean the snake was doing?
That snake was doing. Okay. Yes. Well, no, that's what it looked like the tree was doing. Ken, the tree was climbing the snake. Okay, I make mistakes sometimes.
Oh, I know you do. I mean, that would be really good to see.
So the snake was climbing a tree. It got shot with an arrow, and he killed it, cut his head off, and then didn't he like put the snake over his neck, like his shoulders, like the snake body?
Mm-hmm. Like you do one of them neck braces for when you're going on the airport flying.
Oh, he's so gross. Like, he hadn't showered in forever. His hair is all stringy.
I mean, why would you?
Cause I'm me. I would be taking showers. I don't know about you, Karen. I mean, I guess you just be out there doing whatever you want to.
No, I mean, the way that he functions, like, you go, okay, I could see you being dirty like that just because he functions like that.
Yeah, well, he stinks.
Yes, he does. At least they say, at least take a dip in the water.
So he then also sees a zombie that's trapped in a, he has traps he's built around his campsite, and there's a zombie stuck in one, and he kills that, and then he leaves it there instead of cleaning it up because he thinks that keeps the animals away. He's probably right, but it also means it stinks over there.
Correct.
Carol says she's been out there, that he's been out there longer than she thought he said he would be, and he just says, I like the quiet. I'm like, I'm just out, this is what I like now. And Daryl asks about the king, and she says, you know, he's doing good, but we got stuff that we need to take care of in the kingdom, and I also need to take this boy to Hilltop, and he wants to learn how to be a blacksmith. And he's like, so why are you looking me up? And she was like, because you know, I kind of want you to come with us and watch out for Henry. And then he basically says, like, why would I do that? She's like, well, you know, Henry's really idealistic. He needs somebody to watch his back. And he was like, well, he gonna have to learn the way we did. Like, too bad for him. Which is kind of, like, I think a little bit new for Daryl. Like, I understand Daryl's always been a loner, but that was kind of cold. And, like, especially to say it to Carol. Like, too bad your son gotta just go out here and learn on his own. Like, he has changed. And I wonder, yes, what changed him.
Something did. I don't know what, but something clicked and changed.
We do see that he has an X on his back, like Michonne.
Sure do, in the same spot too.
So I wonder what the fuck those exes are about.
Something happened. It's gonna be interesting, you know. I doubt they'll do it because I think this Sunday is the mid-season finale.
Yeah,
right. So apparently when we come back next year, probably I think that, you know, even if it's through a series of flashbacks, even if it's through, you know, the next half of this season and then the next season, I think that they'll drop hints, flashbacks, verbally, like they'll let us know something happened, because who knows, the groups may have tried to come back together and something happened, mm-hmm. and to just cause them to permanently break.
Yeah, and those exes just, I don't know, because they don't talk about them.
Mm-mm.
And Henry did ask him about the scar. He changed the subject. Now of course Daryl's very cagey anyway, so maybe he would have changed the subject no matter what Henry asked him, you know.
Correct, because he was like, look, I ain't trying to get close to no kids.
Yeah, he could have been like, hey man, what you put in this soup? And he'd be like, well, let's talk about something else. Where's the dog? So then Daryl starts cooking. And then also during this time, the fucking dog has been bringing over like zombie hands. Zombie. A piece of zombie foot.
Right. I was like, what the fuck is this dog bringing him?
Yeah. And while Daryl's got a campfire going and he's about to cook that snake up, he's skinning it or whatever, the dog brings a piece of foot and then Daryl throws the foot in the fire. Which I'm like, that gotta stink. Oh, decrepit zombie feet in the fire.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, I heard of putting your foot in the soup, but that's not what they're talking about.
No, that's not what they're talking about. No, that's not what they're talking about. But like you said, it is a good point that the odor would keep them away. Just that odor, they would.
The zombies away?
Yes.
He, I don't know about
like not him with the foot, but
maybe some. I think he said it keeps animals away, not zombies.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess animals are like, it stank. I don't want to go down there. I don't know.
Right, and animals have been in the world long enough to know. Hey, they adapt too, and they was like, hey. Nah, dog. I don't like the other. My cousin went over there last week, and that nigga didn't come back. So we not going in that direction.
Right. So he cooks up some damn snake stew, and Henry does ask, "Does your dog always do that?" And Daryl's kind of like, he checks the traps for me, or something like. Oh no, actually, he didn't answer him at this time. No, he just kind of gave him a stone face.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carol compliments Daryl on cooking, and Daryl's like, plenty of people at Hilltop could cook, and he skins the snake in front of him. And that's when Henry puts it together, like, oh, you made us come out here because you want me to, you want Daryl to come chaperone me. And of course, he's not with that shit. He's like, I can do it myself. I'm strong. I'm grown. Mm-hmm. I can look out for myself. I'm like, nigga, didn't you just get trapped by the savior's lap? Like, what are you talking about?
Right. What the fuck, dog?
Carol not coming with you. She can't Liam Neeson everybody to do you wrong.
Come on.
But he's hella pressed to get the Hilltop anyway. And it sounds like he, you know, as far as he's concerned, he don't need to wait on no Daryl to do it. So, and he is big, but he ain't the nicest nigga in the world to be doing that. Like, his hands ain't that sweet. So,
no, but he will be a form of protection. I think.
No, I'm talking about Henry.
Oh,
Henry's gotten older, but he ain't
that smart.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that smart as educational smart, but he's not smart as far as if a situation happened, what's the best way of attack, you know, to observe, to look. He wants to run in and then whatever happens, and you can't be like that.
Well, also just he ain't exactly his hands ain't exactly the most sharpest.
No, they're not.
For him to be feeling like he can just go around and don't need no help. He ain't Jesus. Like, Jesus on this show out there doing kung fu kicks in a matrix coat and shit.
Come on.
Like, you're not that. Sit your ass down. All you got is that stick, and you get mushed to the ground just as much as anybody else when you try to use a stick. So
you got about 2 to 3 good combo moves with that stick, buddy, and that's it.
Right. So I'm not with his whole
sweep the leg to the left, sweep the leg to the right, and just pop somebody. That's it, buddy. That's it.
Yeah, I'm so smart, I can do it by myself. I'm not with that shit. Like, just go get your DeVry vocational degree.
I'm looking for an hourly wage. I went to high school, didn't do great. Still I gotta make more cash, more education. fashion is worth looking at. When I get a degree, I will make a bigger salary. So now I've got to see which college is right for me. I went to the internet and spelled Education Connection. I took some free tests to find out my direction. I'm taking my classes online, getting my degree on my own time. Education Connection matched me with the right college for free. Get connected for free with Education Connection. Get connected for free with Education Connection.
Now we got cooking classes, blacksmithing, go to the hilltop at university.
Come
you can
on.
Sign up under Jesus right now. Our Master Alden is giving blacksmith classes as we speak.
And the classes are free, free, free.
Yep. So he need to just concentrate on that, because that's something he can do. This whole...
Come on, he a college kid. He ain't built for this that life.
Yeah. So while they're sitting there eating, the Carol gives Daryl a haircut while the food is cooking. And then the dog goes off into the woods barking. And Daryl says he's been out there all this time looking for Rick. And then Carol's like, yeah, but, you know, I know. And because he's like, they never found a body.
Nope, nobody, no death.
Daryl's like, I read comic books, okay?
Come on.
I knew Gambi was alive. Nobody, no death.
Nobody, no death.
So he says.
And sometimes even when you do find a body, right, they still might be alive.
So it's like, I couldn't find his body, so I kept looking, and then eventually I just stayed out here, and it was easy to stay out here alone. And then they go finish eating. Henry asks about the scar, Daryl, and then Daryl's like, he avoids the question and says, oh, the dog, where'd the dog go? Dog! And the dog's not there, so Daryl goes looking for the dog, and they go to bed, like go lay, like, Henry and Carol go to sleep in the tent, and Henry sees like a shadow on the tent, realizes it's Daryl, gets up, follows Daryl, almost runs into a zombie. Daryl kills it. And I'll skip you the zombie foreplay, guys. You know, it was zombie time. The dog was surrounded by zombies, and the zombies were all in traps. But the dog had, for the first time ever, had gotten stuck in one of the traps. Mm-hmm. So Daryl had to go get the dog out of the trap surrounded by zombies. And of course, it's like, you know, perilous, like zombie stabbing and shit. And one zombie's foot was like almost severed in the trap, and it was trying to get loose, and Daryl fighting the zombies and making a commotion made that one get loose. And he had told Henry to go back to the tent, but Henry didn't listen. So Henry used his staff to hold the zombie up right before it would have bit Daryl, and then Daryl turned around and stabbed it. But Henry also stepped into a hole that was one of the traps that Daryl had set, and it cut his leg. Mm-hmm. And not bad or anything, but just, he said it's just a scratch, but he clearly had been cut or whatever. But my favorite part of this is it cuts to the woods in the dark, and Carol is there with a bow and arrow looking at this whole thing.
Come on, up in the treetops like Robin Hood,
looking like Chuck Norris in the Expendables.
Oh, she was ready for business. Probably as soon as that boy moved, she probably with it, went right behind and was like, where the fuck are you going?
Which makes me think that, like, Carol almost set up this whole bonding incident. Now, it's impossible for her to have done all that shit, but that's how it made it seem. Like, Carol was like, and I knew they would be friends.
This is just my prediction. I think that someone else did that.
Did what? Set that dog up?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who? I mean, why? What is your prediction to who and why they would do that?
Oh, I think that the same people that were whispering with Rosita and Eugene, I think maybe one of them may have seen those zombies around there and got tired of that dog, and just because I guarantee you that dog probably was out and about, and they probably have seen that dog, and they might not have wanted the dog to sniff them out and maybe attack them. And so I could be a far-fetched thing, but I really do think, because Daryl specifically said the dog never gets caught in that trap.
Okay, all right. I think that's what the walkers, the whisperers are on the show for, to make everybody conveniently paranoid. I think it was just random convenient zombie shit that they do every week. I think
the dog finally decided to daze it down and get trapped.
Yeah, I think it just got trapped. I mean,
which is true.
What's the fucking odds that dog is never gonna get trapped in the first, the whole thing. Listen, I love this show. That whole fucking setup was stupid as fuck.
It was.
How the fuck you gonna have a bunch of he said the traps aren't for animals, they for zombies, but we had seen that animals had got stuck in his traps already.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it was, so like it was a good chance a dog could get stuck in that trap. Like, I'm surprised it hadn't happened before. And then why wouldn't the dog get stuck in the trap and then the fucking zombie eat it? Like, it just seemed like a dumbass plan that Daryl had. Like, I know he's a loner and shit, but that shit was stupid. Like,
and that explained why the dog was bringing random zombie foots and toenails.
Yeah, it's only because it's a fucking TV show that that dog ain't get ate.
Right. I think yours is probably more plausible. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just, I'm just going off of the way they've been writing it. I don't think they would make it where it's, like, so that clever. I just think, literally, they was like, we need to make a scenario where Daryl and Henry become friends. And what's better than saving the dog together? Because white people love dogs. They do. So anyway, they go back to his stank ass camp and sit around the fire. And,
ooh, ah, the ghetto.
And Henry does some reading, and Daryl comes over with a bomb for the cut on his leg. Meanwhile, I guess they both supposed to think Carol is asleep, because like they didn't see her watching them, and then she kind of runs off before they can like see her.
That nigga ran off like Batman.
Yeah, smoke pellet. So then Daryl and Henry have a little talk where he says that the traps aren't for animals. The dogs never got stuck before. The traps is for walkers, and that's no way for a dog to, for an animal to die slowly, painfully like that. He would not let that happen. And he said, I just want to keep the walkers out, but it seemed to be more and more of them lately.
Oh, and another reason why, like I said, I had that guess is because we're probably gonna get to it later on. Another group was out doing something and it looked like somebody was following them, so I was thinking maybe this is somebody that may, you know, like they may have they may send scouts out to kind of follow people and see what other communities are. But that's just my hypothesis.
Yeah, I mean, one, you don't have to downplay your hypothesis like that. It's your theory. I don't know what's gonna happen on the show next week either. Maybe they will come back and be like, that's what happened. I know he said there's been more of them lately coming, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Mm-hmm. It feels like I don't know. It felt to me like just the old school regular Walking Dead writing, but maybe it's not. Maybe it was supposed to mean something. I don't know. So, at any rate, Henry says that Carol told Daryl that Carol told Henry that Daryl was her best friend and she misses him and worries about him. And he's like, she knows where I'm at. She knows how to find me. He said she shouldn't have to, from the mouth of babes. And then Daryl says, is that what you want? Me looking over your shoulder all the time? And Henry says, it isn't just about me. Which I like, because, you know, I don't think Henry wants Daryl watching out for him. I mean, he's even said he thinks he can take care of himself. But Henry looks at it like, my mom wants this. It'll make her have peace of mind. You are obviously important to her. You know, why are you out here by yourself?
Causing worry.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you just come back to the community, just even if it's just for her? And I kind of agree, because Daryl didn't really like when Carol just went off on her own.
Mm-mm.
And he went all the way to Hilltop looking for her and went to that house and everything.
Right, because he's the one that got up with her when she was going to leave, right? Because she had the shit packed in the car and shit like that. And he was like, where the hell are you going?
Right. So, you know, there Carol shows up.
Can he be the Kanye to my Kim?
Just wanting to... just wanting to Kanye to her Kim,
like, come on, dog, you and, word you
right. And he tried to act like he was too good for her. So yeah, it was cool that so finally he decided to come with him. And so Daryl gets on his motorcycle and they all head in the Hilltop, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, a lot of sitting around in that storyline, a lot of sitting around. Love the relationship between Carol and Daryl, love to see that explored, but also a lot of sitting around, guys.
Yeah, and in this form of, it's a form of character building. And I know when you have these episodes, it moves, but it doesn't move. It informs you, but sometimes it doesn't push things forward all the time. And I didn't mind that with this one. I hated the ones where in the past where it was absolutely positive, no purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that used to make me angry.
Yep, no problem. So Hilltop or the Road to Hilltop, what should we do first? You know, let's do the Road to Hilltop first. So Rosita's running through the woods looking extremely tired.
Yes,
you can hear voices whispering and like the zombies, you know, where is she and shit like that. I actually think I can play the clip for you guys. Let me see if I can put it on my screen as well.
She looked fucking exhausted, like she had been running for days.
Yeah, that was the thing. I don't know how much time passes the last time we saw her and Eugene and now, because it felt like it would have been a couple of days.
I think it's been a few days.
Yeah, because she looked like a couple of days disheveled. She was out of water, she was exhausted, she was like she was gonna die of dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
And then also she seemed like paranoid. Mm-hmm. Like she didn't know where the voices were coming from. Right. And what was real and what was a hallucination. Okay, why is this?
Okay, hold on.
Okay, now yep. The picture came in. It stopped. I don't know what's going on.
Did you want to back it up?
Back it up. Let me see if I can try. It's acting stupid. Let me try one more time. You guys know how it is. All right, let's see if it'll play. There we go. And like she's bleeding from the head and stuff. Like this feels like one of those things where next week they could start the episode with 5 minutes of her and Eugene running and whatever they had to do to split up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where like they don't need a whole episode or anything like they would have done back in the past, and I don't think we'll get that.
No,
but like a couple of minutes of just like what the fuck happened to them and how long were they out there, because like I said, she looks too through.
Yeah, and I think we may get something like that. Either we're gonna see it or somebody's gonna tell us.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that wherever Eugene is at, you know, because we do find out that he's alive and in a barn somewhere. They don't say, you know, the exact location or how long has he been in the barn. Right. What his condition is. We know that his, you know, his leg is fucked up,
and that may have been why she may have decided, hey, you stay here because you really can't move. I'll actually try to go get help.
Right. So I'm guessing they split up. He's stuck in the barn still.
Man,
waiting.
I can't fucking believe this. The same shit happened to the same guy twice.
Hey yo, sweetie, you looking kind of pretty with a girl like you. I'm assuming he's just sitting there listening to this, waiting on her to get back. Like, I know you got a man, but can we just be honest? What your man got to do with Dwight? I mean, with Eugene? Not a damn thing. But hey, he's sitting up in the barn, hoping she comes back.
Right.
I'm trying to see if it'll play the Walker's voices for you guys, though. Cause. Yeah, we found her. Get her. So, you know.
And she's been hearing this the whole time. Like, oh my gosh, am I hallucinating? Like, what is really happening here?
And they did that thing where they did like the wide lens behind her head type of view that lets you know, like, oh, this is a person that's paranoid and going crazy. She doesn't know what's real. So, yeah, it's, we'll see. You know, cause it's kind of give and go with the whole like what's happening with her, what's real, what's not.
Right. And then she basically, we seen where she grabbed some water, walked her feet, and then she passed out, and then the intro started to the show.
Yeah, it's only like a 45 second intro, which is rare for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's you know, most of the time when they do something like that, we get a longer intro, but nope. It's just the Walkers.
Come on.
Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper.
And she going, what the fuck is that? What is going on here? Oh no! Con!
Eugene, help!
Eugene, help! That's all she hear while she running. She's like, what the fuck is this?
You can't get no help from Eugene.
No, you can't.
Because Eugene is sitting up in the barn.
Come on.
Waiting on you to get back. What your man got to do with me? I told ya. I'm not trying to hear that scene. I'm not one of those girls that... So, anyway, Rosita does pass the fuck out. And Michonne and, a group heading from Alexandria with new people on it they're on the road, you know, all the ASL folks, and Sadiq basically says he likes the new group of people. Since Michonne likes the new group of people, he don't know why she can't let them stay in Alexandria,
right?
And Michonne's like, why would you even say something like that? He's like, well, you're not denying that you like them, so I don't know why you're not just letting them stay with us. And Magna, who's the woman with the prison tat, she's complaining that Michonne took her knives. Now look, I get it. I want to be armed in the Z-Pac too. But if you are Miss Sneak a Shank into the building, I feel like you're not the person that gets to bring up the knives.
Somebody else should have brought it up.
Yeah, like somebody else could be like, so can I? It's kind of like when you're at school and you bring like a pager or a video game and your teacher confiscates it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta wait till one of them good kids bring it up.
Come on.
They're not gonna give it back to your bad ass. Like, you keep asking, I'm gonna keep it. That's, everybody knows that rule.
Come on.
Michonne was not, she was over that shit, and it was all passive aggressive, and some of it was in ASL and some of it was out loud, but she basically was like complaining to the group, like, when she gonna give us our knives back? And they like, you mean the knives you snuck in? No, nigga.
Right. Even they was turning against her, like, word. The agreement was that we didn't carry no weapons.
And they was like, we saved, this better than nothing. They taking us to safety. They not gonna let us in the group unit while we armed to the teeth. Just fucking chill. And Michonne was looking at them like, you got weapons money? Because if you ain't got no weapons money, then you need to shut the fuck up and take this ride. And Yumiko, who's the Asian woman who was hit upside the head last week and was healing, and Sadiq is supposed to be taking care of her and stuff, she apologizes to Magna's behalf and sort of hints that Magna's in a bad place because they had their friend Bernie, who had just died, was like close with her, and mm-hmm. she was annoyed by him at first, but he eventually grew on her. Like, he had a shirt that was paisley and ugly and loud, and she didn't like it, said it gave her a migraine just looking at it, so he wore the shirt for a whole week, and eventually she started to like the shirt, and Michonne goes, like family, and like, they get on your nerves but you like them anyway. Which is kind of a weird line, because I don't feel like, you know, Michonne, I don't feel like the people that get on Michonne's nerves becomes her family. Unless she's starting to, maybe some things have changed in the last few years. So we see, Hilltop, and this was like one of the weirder scenes in the episode to me personally. They show Hilltop the actual like location. And they have this groovy ass music playing.
It came out of nowhere.
It felt like a 90s sitcom theme song. Like, they should have just started cutting the close-ups
and their names pop up.
Yeah, it's like Enid, and she like turns to the camera and starts smiling while she's in the middle of checking on a patient, and starring Jesus, and then Jesus is out there like just karate stop. Kicking and sparring with Aaron, and then he turns to the camera. Like, that's how it felt. This is the song. Starring Jesus is Uncle Jesse. Like, they should have just cut to like Judith being like, you know what, dude, or some shit, you know, like I don't know what all catchphrases they had.
I don't know where that music came from, and I guess that was the way to show that it's all good over there.
Yeah, they used a big wide shot, and they had like gardens and everything, so
It's prospering.
Yeah, I guess I could have left that in the Hilltop section, but this is when they cut to it, and it cracked me the fuck up. It's just like, I was just waiting on like Carl Winslow to come out the front door. like he was mad at Steve Urkel, and then look at the camera and start smiling like, oh Steve,
as the days go by.
Right. It's the bigger love of the zombies.
Yes.
Anyway, so we get to the field, because that where they were going was to where the ASL crew, where they found them. Like, they have a stash of all their gear and shit, and they needed to go there first and then go to Hilltop. So they get to that place where they had everything stashed, and it is ramshack. Like, ramshack? It is fucked up, is what it is. It is fucked up. Like, they had a trailer or something with all their gear in it. It's now turned onto its side, and some zombies have been crushed underneath it. And the zombies are like, they're crushed underneath it, are still there, but most of the other ones are gone unless they're pinned to something.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like their belongings have been trashed and maybe even gone through.
Mm-hmm.
They still had their weapons there though, like their weapons. I think they had some, yeah, they had some weapons there. I'm sorry, it wasn't all their weapons. Some of their weapons were confiscated on the way to to Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
So they start going through things. Magnus, he goes through some clothes that apparently belong to Bernie, and she's like sad, like look like she was crying and shit. And Yumiko says she should take something of Bernie's with them, and Magnus says, why would I do that? And she was like, to remember him. And she was like, fuck that shit. So I think Magna, they're trying to show some depth with this character, where she's angry, she's dangerous, she can fight, she loves knives, she's Roberto the robot from Futurama and shit.
Debbie.
But at the same time, there she's not this like
so cold,
dangerous ass, you know, scary, you know, person, in my opinion. Sadiq finds a flute and tells a story about how it's the first instrument he found, and he had one when he was a kid. He drove his mom crazy, but she wouldn't let him play it because of her sanity. And Michonne was like, and you're not gonna play it right now because of my sanity, put that down.
Right.
And Luke is upset. Luke is the teacher, the music teacher. He's upset because he can't find like a specific instrument he's looking for. And Connie makes a joke about, Connie's the ASL speaker, she makes a joke, well all of them kind of speak it, right, but she's the one who's mute, and she makes a joke about how he looking for the instrument because it's like a sexual fetish. And he's like, oh Connie, come on now, you know, I'm not sexual fetish, stop, you know, or whatever. And Sadiq laughs about it. And I don't know, man, I felt like, and maybe I'm just reading too far into it, felt a little spark between Connie and Sadiq. I don't know, they was looking mm-hmm. at each other, and Sadiq was looking kind of flirtatious, he had the ponytail, he's looking kind of mm-hmm. snackish. I felt a little something, y'all. Maybe it might be I'm making it up. Did anybody else feel it in the chat? Didn't mm-hmm. know, am I reading too far into it?
I did too.
Okay, you felt it too? Okay, it was just a little bit.
It was cute.
She made his face after him, like when he smiled and shit. Like,
and like, she right cute.
She is pretty. So then, they end up, okay, yeah. So then Sadiq and, you know, had that moment. And they find the weapons. And Michonne instructs DJ, who is so, I need to know. See, I don't understand how people are watching this. Like, I don't need to know what happened these last 5 years. I need to know how the saviors that are part of Alexandria got to be part of Alexandria.
Yeah.
Cause DJ was one of the people that was down with Jed when Jed and them tried to take Carol and Rick's weapons.
Yeah, something happened. And I think some of the saviors, cause one of them was actually a council board member, mm-hmm. a tattoo net girl.
Right.
So something happened where some of the saviors, after everything happened, decided, I'm not going with y'all, I'm gonna stay here with the group. Some stayed with Alexandria, you know, another part of them stayed with Hilltop, and the rest of them just decided to go on their own. But they had right. the choice, and that was Carol's thing. Let them have the choice, don't strip them away of the choice.
Yeah, and the chat room does agree with me. Like, Sadiq being single in the Z-Pop makes no sense. Sadiq not giving nobody to Sadiq, that don't make no sense.
Oh Lord.
But yeah, I agree with what you just said. I think I don't know, it's just kind of interesting because I want to see what happened, and I think they can tell us or show us or whatever, but
I think they will.
I just want to hear, because like last time we checked, them niggas was shooting each other in the campsite, and some of the saviors was not with the shits, and some was. And DJ, I thought, was on Jed's side, you know, so I would like to know. Anyway, so, they end up, you know, having, taking the weapons, and they start arguing with Michonne, like, no, we want our weapons. And Michonne's like, I'm not taking five armed strangers in the hilltop.
Right, because they're not going to go for that.
And I won't front, at this time I was a little annoyed, and I was like, Michonne, clearly they can be trusted at this point. Like, what else is there? You know, like, how you got a sword, you got your people, you know, if y'all run into some trouble on the road, you're gonna need them to be well armed. When you get to Hilltop, you can always just make them get their weapons up, you know. But I think I turned out to be wrong about that anyway. Not that they're not trustworthy, but I get why she was so cautious.
Yeah, because she was like, you're cool, but I don't know you like that. You have, whatchamacallit, old girl complaining back there about a weapon. So I'm like, okay, you complaining about your weapons. What are you going to do when you get your weapons? And like you say, I can't take you up there with weapons. This is going to be a problem.
Right. And at the time, I didn't know that Hilltop and Alexandria were having such a strained relationship. Because we find out more about this later, and it's like, oh, I didn't know it was that bad. So it made sense that she would be like, we can't take you up there with you being armed. Two, she's not going, because she said, have my men take you up there. And they were like, what do you mean, have your men take you? You not taking us? And she was like, I'm not going in the Hilltop. I promised Judith I'd get y'all to Hilltop, and that's as far as I'm going. Like, I'm gonna turn around and let my men take you. So it was kind of a,
her and Maggie probably fell smack out.
Right. I don't know what the fuck could have happened. I want to know. I don't know what could have happened, because that shit sounded real bad. And there's some details that get dropped later in this episode that make it sound like it's fucked up, whatever happened. So, Michonne's like, we can, like, you know, chill here for the night, and then take off, in the morning, and we'll be at Hilltop. And the ASL crew basically agrees, but begrudgingly. And Yumiko basically takes control and says, look, we're gonna give up our weapons, Michonne. We're gonna wait it out, and we trust you, and we'll decide when we get there. And it was cool, because that the ASL group was disagreeing. Like, Luke was like, I want to go to Hilltop, all right? And I think it was not Connie, but Connie's sister, who was like, yeah, I'm actually kind of down with the idea of hitting the road. We survived this far. We got our weapons. We got each other. Fuck Hilltop. And they basically, Yumiko broke the tie and was like, no, we staying. So we're gonna go to Hilltop. I just want a safe place to stay. So later in the middle of the night, Michonne's black mama scent starts tingling.
Yeah, she's security. She like a law enforcement.
She just could feel the mischief in the air. She wakes up. Luke has been rummaging through some shit, and he's holding something, and she can't see it because his back is to him. She's like, drop it and turn around. She's got her sword out. He is like, I can't, it'll break. And then she cuts him off like, drop it. And he turns around like, I can't. And then she slices, they cut away, of course, in a very dramatic, like, what could have happened? Did she just kill Luke? And like, which we obviously know, no, because like, what, they gonna make Michonne evil for no fucking reason?
Right.
So I made a joke on Twitter where I was like, I bet it's a fucking violin. This nigga really had a violin that got cut in half, y'all.
Yes, he did.
And that's where the title of the fucking show comes from. It was called a Stradivarius or some shit. Circa 1725, and they had found it in an old mansion.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and everyone had woke up because, you know, they thought Michonne had killed this nigga. And, you know, because he got cut, and he was like, no! Because Luke's such a nerd. He loves them instruments.
I believe old girl.
Old girl?
Yeah, when she was talking about how he loved them instruments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He must be fucking them hoes. I don't know. So then they talk about how they've been collecting instruments, or Luke's been collecting instruments the whole Z-Pac, the whole time they've been traveling. And he gives this long speech on basically how art is the thing that keeps them alive, and art is the reason that modern man beat out the caveman, and it's sharing things and coming together. And it was funny because Michonne's face at the end, because he went on for a while, and My first thought was, man, I know his motherfucking class was boring as shit. But he,
you know it was.
He goes on for a while, y'all. And he's like,
he's like intro music 101 teacher.
Yeah, he's just intro to music. Yeah, he was just like, and it was the flute and the spoken word that kept the modern man's mind sharp as his brother Homo erectus or whatever the fuck. It was just too much. But I was like, you know, it's cool to see somebody passionate about something. It's cool to see a character that's different from any other character they've had on the show. And his whole art will save us shit was funny. But was a good speech. But what killed me was Michonne's face and how she looked at him at the end.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, so he gives a speech, and I think Michonne's exact words are like, and after everything you've seen and done, you still believe that's all it will take, like us working together in music and art. And he said, yeah, survival of the fittest, sharing with each other, I think that's part of what makes us stronger. And Michonne looked like she was gonna cuss him out, but then she took a deep breath and let it pass. And in the morning, everybody got up and they about to leave the hilltop. Sadiq asked her to come with them, and she says, it's for the best, you know that, because apparently she's like, Maggie gonna see my face and gonna flip the fuck out, so don't even, just do your thing. And she said, we can't take the risk, I don't know what she'll do if she sees me, talking about Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
What could have happened?
Something.
Sadiq says, you don't have to worry about Maggie, Jesus is the leader of Hilltop now. And Michonne's like, nigga, what you say?
I missed the memo. Who had this meet without me?
And so, and before they can get into it, Connie puts her hands to the ground and senses some through the ground vibrations that a herd of walkers is coming.
Right, because I never would have thought about that. They probably do shake the ground.
And then, of course, somebody came in and was like, zombies is coming, because they knew after her. So she was able to figure it out before everybody else. Zombies show up before Michonne can find out where Maggie is. There's a lot of them. Yada, yada, yada. They had to get the ASL crew their fucking weapons back. And nigga, this is the part where I said, you know what? I apologize, Michonne. You was right. These niggas are dangerous. Goddamn, they can fight. They had slingshots, fucking, Yumiko shot an arrow into a fucking like shed and made the shed collapse on some motherfucking A-team shit.
Yeah, because it's a difference between, you have to think, they're like fresh from fighting all the time, like you know how Rick and them used to be fighting all the time, will actually make you really, really sharp. So they're very sharp.
Look, they was beasting. Like, I mean, like I said, slingshots, bow and arrow, fucking Magna was throwing knives around, like she was throwing them bitches, like she was knifed up, man. It was crazy. She was like that motherfucking desperado, like just shoot, 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 shoot. I was like, damn. And I was like, you know what, Michonne, that's why you couldn't give them their weapons back, because these motherfuckers is too nice with these knives. You fuck around and be dead trying to trust these niggas. You don't know, they could have killed all y'all in y'all sleep. So yeah, so that was a good fight scene, but you know, they just killed zombies. And these weren't like those talking zombies and shit. They were just regular ass zombies, but then they did have like a little moment where, Michonne was like, yo, these zombies, this is the group that attacked y'all earlier. And they like, how you know that? And it was because she seen a zombie with a loud ass paisley shirt on, and it was Bernie. Mm-hmm. And Magna couldn't even kill him, she was so sad. So I don't know if they were lovers or what, like they were just that close of friends, right? But she could not kill, she, all her thug was gone. Like before this she was thugged out, after this she was like, she couldn't do it. And Michonne basically had to mercy kill Bernie in her face, and Bernie the zombie was like, what about her emails? And It was rigged. It was rigged. I say, and he died. So then, after they do that, Michonne says she understands what they went through. They're all on the road again in the cart, and Yumiko says it'll be okay as long as they have somewhere safe to eat, to live and shit. And Sadiq apologizes for not telling Michonne about Maggie leaving Hilltop, and he says Maggie is with Georgie, and he didn't tell Michonne because someone made him promise not to. Total TV trope thing. Someone said not to, and she didn't even ask who, you know.
Probably Aaron.
You think it's Aaron? Okay, I can see that. And then he begs her to come to Hilltop with him. She refuses, saying that she has to get back to Judith. And he's like, "What about your promise to Carl?" And all I could think was slap, but she didn't slap his ass, because I felt like that overstepped your bounds a little bit, Sadiq. But then two centaur looking ass niggas come up on horseback with spears, and one of them was like, Michonne, who was like, "Y'all from Alexandria, I could tell by your spears." And they was like, "And who are you? Where y'all from?" And she was like, "We from Alexandria. I'm Michonne." You know, I don't think she said her name. She said, "We from Alexandria." But the fact that they walked up on each other and didn't actually recognize each other,
right, shows you that the communities have not been communicating.
Right. They're real separate. And they didn't know who Michonne was. Mm-mm. Which you would think, you know, in the scheme of things, if the communities were still working together, everyone would know who Michonne was.
Mm-hmm. The only people that know who she was were the people that were probably already established there. Like, seem like the communities have grown, added more people. Mm-hmm. Who just wouldn't know if nobody talked about it.
Right. And if you haven't been going up there every week or so, they don't have an opportunity to get to know you. Mm-mm. So they don't recognize each other, whatever. But they said that Rosita is with them at Hilltop. She's been injured. They're on their way to Alexandria to inform him. And Michonne finally makes up her mind and says, "Tell the people at Alexandria that Michonne and them went to Hilltop and we're safe." And they go, "Okay, we will." And they go off on horse. And then Connie looks into the woods, like she sees something back there, and it's like a pause for a long time, but then she's like, they're like, "What you see? You see something?" And then she says nothing with sign language. And then they roll off and they do the thing where they show the camera angle from the woods as if someone's watching them. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that herd was like, it had some, like it was led there, like a weapon, mm-hmm, and then to attack them, and that whoever led the herd there is watching them and maybe even following them to Hilltop.
I think yes.
So that's my guess. All right, and the last one is Hilltop. This is a little bit shorter. So in Hilltop, Enid's taking care of the sick people, and she is now like a full-fledged fucking doctor.
Yeah, she got her degree, y'all.
Right. And she's just like looking right in the camera, smiling like, "As I stand here, don't you walk away." Starring Dr. Enid. Starring Tara as the day manager. So it was that shit.
Yeah, she got her DeVry degree.
Mm-hmm. So she's taking care of everyone, managing things. Tara seems to be like running around doing stuff, and everyone's reporting to her. And
I know she's like the supervisor. She's like, "I'm not in charge, but I'm in charge."
And upstairs, we find out that Jesus is actually the reason we're hearing this music. One of the records Georgie gave them is this song that I'm playing, April Skies. So Jesus is sitting up there he's not in Maggie's office, so he set up this space outside, and it's kind of chunky looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the foyer or some shit.
Because he don't run around shit. He's like, "This was not, I don't want to run things." They're like, "This ain't my thing."
Yeah, Jesus is basically me with the Facebook group. Where he's just like, "These niggas arguing, why y'all put me in charge? I don't care. I don't actually want to be in charge, guys."
Yeah, like, he did not want to be in charge. She was telling him about shit, and he was like, "Oh, okay. Am I supposed to care?"
Yeah, he's like, if nobody else wants to run, I'll run it, but is anyone gonna volunteer?
As soon as somebody else's volunteers, I don't give a fuck.
Right. And Tara doesn't give a fuck. Like, she looked him dead in his face.
Yes, they would. That's the job.
She don't care.
Because she was like, I'm not gonna be in charge.
Right. And apparently Jesus is only in charge because Maggie asked him to be.
Yes.
When she left to go be with Georgie. And took her son with her and everything. Tara's like, look, I see you up here listening to this music, reading a letter. What's the letter? He says, Maggie, she's happy. Her and, Herschel doing good. And then Tara gives like a rundown of some issues. Tammy wants to expand the garden. Eden needs room in the garden for medicinal herbs. Alden needs to send a team out for scrap metal. So I'm assuming Alden's taking over a lot of blacksmithing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got a noise complaint from Trailer 7. And Jesus is like, why you get that little kid a kazoo?
To make all that fucking noise.
Tara's like, you find a kazoo, you give it to a kid. That's what happens. And Jesus, and then she says, also, you are elected leader officially. And he said, well, that, I ran unopposed. It's really not...
nobody ran against me.
Yeah. And so then she says, why don't you move into Maggie's old office? And Jesus is like, I don't want to. And she's like, you need to stop kidding yourself. This ain't temporary. Your ass needs to start handling this like you really run Hilltop, okay? Maggie not coming back. And Jesus is like, I got some things to do, and gets up and leaves. He's like, I'm gonna go start scouting some areas or something. And he goes off, and the next time we see him, he's on horseback, and he literally gets like fucking speared off of this horse, like some, not with a physical spear, but like someone literally jumps into them, like into him like Superman, and knocks him off the horse. Now, I don't know that much about horses, all right, but the physics of that shit makes no sense to me.
You have to jump fucking high. I've been on a horse. You are up it. Horses are tall. And so you are literally a few feet off the ground. I don't know how many feet, but you're a few feet off the ground. Your ass got to jump high. I'm short, so it was hard as fuck just to get up on the horse, nobody to jump across the horse.
Right. And I don't know why the fuck they put Jesus in charge, because he's so flighty. Like, for years we've watched him, he undermines everybody, he second guesses everybody, and I kind of like the idea of the karma of putting the person that thinks they know how to run shit in charge. That's like one of my favorite things, but it's also a pet peeve because they don't actually want to run shit.
Mm-mm.
They want to complain. They want to be like, you could have found another way to do this. And it's like, okay, well, now you're in charge. Why I gotta be in charge? Dang. So that was annoying as fuck. But he gets knocked off of this horse, and I think, you know, it's like, oh God, did someone kill Jesus? No, it's Aaron. Aaron and Jesus spar for a bit, and like, you know, Aaron's apparently, his prosthesis comes from the same place Misty Knight got hers.
Come on,
because that shit was not coming off, and it was working just like an arm. And him and Jesus spar for a bit until they get tired or whatever. And I don't know, Karen, second time this episode, felt me some sparks.
Yeah, it's something between them. I really truthfully think it's something between them. And you know, Aaron tried to play it off like, did I get you? He was like, your left foot is very heavy.
Yeah, he said, I heard you coming. He said, yeah, you heard me coming the whole time. But yeah, it was, I don't know, I thought I felt a little something, like they was looking each other all in the eyes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sit down to like lunch or something, and apparently this is a thing they do all the time. And Jesus says, I was late to our sparring session. And he said, because it's harder to get away lately, so it means like they've been doing this for a while. And he says, it's not supposed to be that far off from the wood in the woods he's not supposed to be that far in the woods by himself without security detail,
right? And they don't want nothing to happen to him, because nigga, you run shit.
Yeah, Tara's gonna get him for dereliction of duty if he keeps doing that. And Aaron says that Michonne don't know he snuck out either, so now it has some like West Side Story vibes to it. Mm-hmm. And they discuss how they want to have a fair with all the communities present, and they would like to get Michonne on board, but Michonne shot it down the first vote that they had for it at the council, and she shot it down the same way she shot down the newcomers last week. So he's like, I think she just doesn't want to do it.
and they both, and then, oh, and then right before they get interrupted, Aaron says, and Michonne don't even know about Maggie, so
that's why I think that he's the one that told everybody don't say nothing,
right? So so then they hear a sound and they get interrupted and they run into the woods and they found Rosita.
She saw the flare.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they see a flare. She runs in. They run to get her. She's up against a tree, dehydrated. Aaron asks where Eugene is, and Rosita says she left him at a barn because he was injured. And they see some zombies, so they take Rosita and leave.
I was like, ooh, y'all left just in time, because them zombies was about to fuck y'all up.
Yeah, I'm paranoid too, because I don't know if it's the talking zombies or not.
I think they mix in with right. regular zombies.
I don't think all the zombies are talking. Like, I think I think whoever's directing the zombies, they like guide the zombies from within and then kind of like separate themselves out slowly so that the zombies continue to go a certain direction and attack everybody.
Right, because the zombies will kind of follow each other.
Yeah, and then they just lead these zombies into the people over and over or something. I don't know. We'll see, but it feels like that because I don't think none of those zombies were talking, and they didn't feel like the same necessarily group of zombies, but they were zombies, and that just made me paranoid because I don't know. So they end up grabbing Rosita, taking her back to the hilltop to like nurse her to health or whatever. Tara says that and they find out Eugene is still out there somewhere, because Rosita's like, he's in a barn, I had to leave him, and all this shit. Tara says Rosita's doing okay. Ena got her on the IV. She also says it was weird seeing Rosita after all this time.
So it's been a hot minute. It's probably been a few years.
And Aaron, even. Mm-hmm. It was weird. She hadn't seen him. And she's like, what was you doing out there with them? And Jesus like, man, with me and Aaron, we be sparring and keeping the lines of communication open for the communities and blah, blah, blah. But he's been doing this in secret, so it's kind of hard to like, it's kind of like, is that all it is to it, bro? You ain't been looking at that beard.
Come on. What's really going on? Secret lovers, yeah.
That's what we are.
That's what's going on now.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it was.
Come on. Or is that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love day. What of them is happening?
Right, yeah. I felt like it was something.
Come on.
They have that discussion and Tara's like, well, you need to stay here and run this community, so in the morning I'm gonna be the one that goes out and looks for Eugene, because you know you basically playing real fast and loose with this position of president.
Right, if we need you, you can't be out here fucking up,
and you need to be out here keeping the place together. And then that's when Daryl, Carol, and Henry finally arrive at Hilltop, you know, after they beep, left beep. Camp.
We just will
right. And Henry asked about Enid, because apparently Henry is pressed.
He get that? I think that's why he was pressed to get up there. Not ready for the metal. I mean, the metal part, that's a bonus. But his thing was like, yeah, because I think they said something about Enid. He was like, if that's what Enid likes, I was like,
Right. Like, I didn't realize that what it was about. You know, like, he been coming up there all this time, and I thought he was like, you know, trying to get up there to learn blacksmithing for the community. He been looking for the only other tween in the apocalypse.
Come on.
He like, look, I don't have a lot of options. You think she got some boobies or something? Like, what do you think is going on with her right now? Because I absolutely have no shame in my game. And he walked in and was like, you think Enid here? You think Enid? What you think Enid look like? You think she remember me? Then she in the blondes, and then Carol's like, you're adorable. He's like, I'm not adorable. Unless you think, Ena is in adorable people, because I could be adorable.
Right. I could be whatever she want me to be.
Daryl greets Tara and Aaron. Jesus asks Henry and Carol what they doing there. Carol says Henry wants to learn about blacksmithing. And that's when Aaron's like, yeah, so Eugene is missing. We're going out looking for him, and we could use a good tracker. And Daryl's like, I can come, me and Dog. We'll be there. Dog to Eugene Hunter. And so then Aaron says Rosita's there as well and stuff. And Henry wants to go with Jesus and Aaron and Daryl to look for Eugene.
He wanna go with Daryl going.
And his foot is hurt.
Right.
And then Carol's like, no. Stay your ass here. You say you came here to blacksmith. Your ass gonna be blacksmithing.
Okay? Come on. I didn't come here for nothing. I could have stayed my ass at the house.
Right, for this bullshit. And then Daryl asks, what is Aaron doing in Hilltop? But but he just deflects to Rosita and Eugene. So it's like, okay. And so then they do Tara and Jesus switch places. Tara's like, cause Jesus is like, I know the terrain. I know where they need to be looking for him.
Which he does.
Let me go. And so Tara's like, well, I'm gonna stay here and run Hilltop. Somebody gotta do it.
I think eventually she's gonna be in charge.
Me too. And I think Jesus just shouldn't be in charge. He's not that kind of person. He's a recruiter. He's a bunch of shit, but he ain't a leader.
And he's told them that.
Only thing is, I wish if he decided not to be a leader, he'd shut the fuck up about all these ideas he got. These bright ass ideas he reminds me of the woke people on Twitter that are like, we need to change to a socialist, da da da. And you're like, okay, well, do you want to be in charge? Well, see, that's the problem. Power corrupts, absolutely. I would never run for office or even, I'm like, well, then shut up. All these ideas and they only work for you. It's like that shit where I was in intern when I was at En-ROADS and they would give us fucking community service projects to work on.
Group projects, and fuck them.
Whenever I would get in a group project, I would be like, okay, so here's an idea. And everyone at the table can shit on everyone else's idea. No one wants to come up with their own. Everyone can tell you what's wrong with the idea, but they can't tell you what the right thing to do is. And the truth of the matter is, all the ideas are actually good ideas if you commit to them and put in work. You can make the community service ideas, a car wash, going to the elderly center and shaving people and shit. Like, it was, all the ideas are good. All of them. But only if you just do one. You gotta stick to one. You can come up with a reason each one of them doesn't work. You know? And that's what Jesus reminds me of. The nigga that's like, but the old folks home, it closed at 5, and you know, on Saturdays, it's hard to get on that side of town, so we really need to do something else. Alright, what about a car wash? Well, the car wash, the problem with that is, it's gonna be too hot, and some people gonna need, like, water and stuff, and
what about tutoring the kids?
Yeah, I'm like, goddamn, man, you hate everything. Anyway.
But like, we got to do something, niggas, come on.
Right. I mean, we can tutor the kids, but none of us really speak, like, Spanish, so like, what we gonna do for the Latinx kids? Like, so then don't help nobody because we can't find a perfect idea. Don't help nobody, just fuck everything. Anyway, that's how Jesus makes me mad. And now he's in charge and he's like leading and also being like, but not really. But then they ended on a,
you know what, he's similar to Trump. He's a part-time leader.
So then, I mean,
he's not like Trump like that, right. But he's like, oh, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go out here sparring versus actually being where I need to be. You know, it's no taxpayers' money, but I'm still gonna go off and do other shit.
Yeah, he was up in Mar-a-Lago and shit.
Come on.
With Aaron. They do a wide shot of Daryl and them on the motorcycle and the horses and all that shit, and that's the end of the episode. I personally, like I said, I felt like this was, all this shit is a placeholder for whatever the fuck is going down next week.
I think next week gonna be real lit.
Like, I low-key, look, I don't know who it's gonna be, but I low-key do want somebody to die from them fucking, walkers. I'm ready.
I you know what? And
I want the threat to be real.
I might be wrong, but this is my theory. I think that one of these groups are gonna end up being surrounded by some of these zombies, and with like humans in them, and somebody gonna get fucked up.
Yeah, that's when they gonna find out they not all, you know.
They're like, zombie stab? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, some of these zombies is fucked up. Like, some of these zombies be talking and shit. That's what I want to look forward to. And then also, of course, you know, Eugene. Looking forward to Eugene next week. Cause he's probably sitting up in that barn waiting on Rosita to get back.
Hey, love. You say you need someone.
You say you need a man with two eyes and that believe in science and shit.
Come on.
It's kind of funny, but
I can see him.
That when I'm sitting up in my room.
He gonna be in there. You say you need a man with two eyes and believe in science and indubitably I do.
And you know what's gonna be also the thing I'm looking forward to next week, because they're gonna be Eugene and Rosita gonna be with two different groups. It's gonna be interesting when they tell them what happened. Everybody gonna look at them like, the fuck you talking about?
Yeah, I
guarantee you people not gonna believe, because who would believe that?
Yeah, I need Rosita to wake up, because when she wake up and she's like, the zombies were talking, everybody gonna be like, girl, you was dehydrated, it was hot. Mm-hmm. You was probably seeing shit,
and they gonna get they're probably gonna find Eugene, and he gonna tell them the same story, and they're gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah, Eugene, they did in the preview show, Eugene was freaking the fuck out, which, I mean, that's the thing, the idea of fucking Walker starting to talk 7 years into the Z-Pac, 10 years into the Z-Pac, that is pretty fucking scary,
right?
Because you gotta remember, it's a world where y'all didn't think motherfuckers could become zombies in the first place. Maybe this the next evolution of the zombie is the motherfuckers can start coordinating and attacking and shit, and it's like, what the fuck is this?
Didn't nobody plan on this?
Like, it was all good 5 years ago when you just put up a fence. On. Now these motherfuckers is like, get their ass. It's like, whoa, hold get up, player. Right.
You know, and then the zombies, who knows, you know, when you're dealing with zombies, you know, if the zombies are people, it'd be one of them things where people just riding around, niggas, get the niggas.
Right. Think pretty smart, said, like, white women zombies are evolving.
Oh.
All right, let's get to y'all's emails before we get out of here, and your emails are brought to you by Healthy Roots Dolls. That's right, y'all. Today's podcast and your emails are brought to you by Healthy Roots Dolls. Christmas is almost here, and we know some of y'all still ain't bought nothing for your kids.
Nothing.
We see their little sad faces. What, you gonna stop by CVS on Christmas Eve? You gonna go to KB Toys when the line's out the door? Do they even have those anymore? You gonna go to the mall and find out the mall done closed down?
Duh!
It's time to get on it now. It's probably because of how hard it is to find products that represent young black girls. That might be why you ain't bought nothing for your kids. You out there looking, and you gotta go through all the seas of white faces. Healthy Roots creates dolls that empower young girls through hair play with dolls that represent their beauty. Yalitza never had a doll that looked like her growing up, so she created Zoe, the first Healthy Roots doll, and that first doll that teaches natural hair care, because she knows that toys influence how kids think, act, and see themselves. Get a free curl kit with $40 worth of products from Shea Moisture, Cantu, Mixed Chicks, and more when you visit healthyrootsdolls.com and you put in code TBGWT at checkout. Okay, make sure you guys do that. I'm telling you, don't wait till it runs out. Don't be in here like, oh man, what, I went but the sale was off. Well, the sale ends Monday, okay, for African-American Friday. You go take a little bit of time and take care of yourself. Go out, don't get in a big line, get in a fight at Walmart, like, take care of your stuff now so you don't have to worry about this later, you know? Let's get on this. So yeah, code TBGWT at Healthy Roots Dolls, and that, I'm telling you, the $40 kit alone is worth the shit. So And then you got a toy to give your niece or your daughter or whoever in your family you want to give it to. Get one for yourself. Some of y'all ain't never had a doll that reminds you of yourself.
Come on.
All right, let's get to y'all's emails. We got a couple. Simone says, hey Rod and Karen, I didn't read the comics, but the Whisperers have me shook, as they should.
Yes, they should.
The title of this is, the Whisperers are going to give me nightmares. Rosita was such a badass with Abraham, and since then she has been with weak guys. I don't know, them dudes rubbed off on her, or if it was the idea of talking walkers, but she is so different from the character we first met. You know what's interesting? I really want to see Rosita really express it for herself, but I always felt like Rosita attached herself to Abraham, but she wasn't like in love with him. She just thought he could protect her. And I think we've watched Rosita kind of learn to protect herself, maybe to the extreme. I mean, she was getting real stupid trying to kill Negan by herself with one bullet and shit. But, you know, we kind of watched her kind of, you know, come into her own in a way that, I don't know, I've come to respect. But yeah, this shit, I mean, I just feel like she was delirious and dehydrated, and whatever was going on with those walkers that were after her,
it fucked her up,
right? And she's probably running for hours or possibly days with them whispering behind her.
Like, allow me to put it in perspective this way. Imagine we live in a world where, I don't know, let's say there were, I'm trying to think of some innocuous danger that is a constant, like, I don't know, there were, like, every once in a while a dog would get loose, and sometimes the dogs bite you, right? Mm-hmm. but most of the time, if you see the dog coming, you can, like, get in your house, get in your car, be okay, right? But then one day, like, you saw a dog open up a car door with a set of keys. That's essentially what we just watched. Like, to them in this world, they just watch zombies communicate with each other for the first time ever and chase them in a guided pattern where you can't just make a turn and be like, all right, now we can rest for 10 minutes. It's like you make the turn and then the fucking zombies turn with you.
Right.
And it's like, you know what I mean?
Like, you can't shake them.
Yeah, like, at some point it becomes about an endurance thing instead of just a matter of whatever. And your first time seeing it, I feel like it would fuck you up. Now, I don't think it could fuck you up forever, because eventually you would realize that they're adjusting, so you're adjusting. But it's like the global warming of the climate change of zombies, and I think that's what had us so shook. Because if a fucking dog started talking and trying to open my front door, I would freak the fuck out. Like, what is happening?
Y'all could kiss y'all dogs goodbye.
Like, they make these now? Hold up. Let me put a fucking couch in front of my door.
I'm like, I trust no dogs.
So yeah. Carol loves Ezekiel, but she clearly has not lost herself. She set fire to them saviors without being overbearing. She is watching out for family from the bushes. I love seeing her pretend to sleep when Henry got up from the tent and try helping Daryl. I know Carol was not going to be outside of them walls and sleeping soundly. Yeah. I mean, look, man, Carol's a whole different person than Rosita. Rosita ain't never did none of the shit Carol did, so. Mm-hmm. This time jump has stirred up excitement and so many questions. Even after learning that Maggie was gone, Michonne wanted no parts of going to Hilltop until she learned that Rosita was there. Hilltop and the Kingdom still seem cool, so I can't wait to find out what happened. I wonder if it is because Alexandria is governed by a council and the other two communities have a single leader. I just hope Negan has nothing to do with it. He will not be redeemed. I refuse. Thank you for doing the best recap podcast. Y'all are the best, Simone. Thank you, Simone.
Thank you. I don't think he has anything to do with it.
Yeah, a lot of people are. Somebody told me they should let Negan lead. I was like, do you watch the show? Mm-mm. Like, I don't want that nigga leading. First of all, he done got cucked already. So that the days of that is over. If anything, he can get out and fit in like everybody else, but he can't get out and lead nobody.
Lead shit.
Miss Smart writes saying, hey, Karen and Rod. What is y'all's wildest idea about why Michonne and Maggie have beef? Here's mine. Rick came back. There was a civil war or a lower level intercommunity beef, and that is when Rick died. Okay. I think that was just a few months prior, because I don't believe Daryl would be out there looking for Rick for 6 years. If that's the case, the three movies could be, and then here's her list of what the movies could be. One, the community Rick sees when he gets off the helicopter and his time convalescing. Two, Rick and Heath. Yes, I'm still holding out hope. Trying to get back, but only Rick makes it back because Heath decides to stay in a black community that they passed through. I don't know if they would accept Heath in a black community with that hair.
They would. You know, we love people. We get his hair together.
They'd be like, you might be wanting to make America great again, blacks. Keep going. Three, the incident that got Rick killed, which involves Maggie refusing to kill the person or people who kill Rick. Have a great Murder the Natives Day, Miss Smart. Ouch. What do you think could have happened that would make Maggie and Michonne's beef still be going to today?
Philosophy. Something happened. I think that it was another group or another force that came that we haven't touched, like, you know, because it's a long period of time. I'm pretty sure they've crossed a lot of different groups, because like you said last week, they would kind of get to the point where they would kind of almost tell and stop right before they would tell what it was. Mm-hmm. So something happened, like I said, some form of a civil war. They couldn't agree on something, an outside force. I think it was an outside force, because Michonne and Daryl had those X's like right behind there, but like those scars. So something has happened, and they and it got to the point where nobody could agree. Everybody was like, nah, we good.
Yeah, I think Daryl has been out there for 6 years looking for Rick. Now, I don't think it's a stretch for that nigga at all, because he don't like people. Right. So he's like, I don't like people or showers. I can do this all day long.
All day long. And I forgot something I brought up. They did make him wash his ass when they first got to Alexandria.
Yeah, I don't mind parasites in my hair. He's on some other shit. So I don't think it's that far-fetched that he just started fucking hanging out with dog and picking each other's fleas. I think the only thing that can make Maggie and Michonne fight.
The boy is mine, the boy is mine,
the boy is mine,
the boy is mine,
the boy is mine.
I think it's gotta be over a dude. What, nothing else makes sense. Since Rick left, maybe it's Alden, you know? Rick does have a way of leaving and then women pop up pregnant. And a week later they be with some other dude. I mean, look. Alden's still around, you know? And we know Alden was making them eyes at Maggie. And then, you know, Michonne ain't, you know, she might have been like, you're doing a pinch, you know? And now he's just up there blacksmithing, laying the pipe. And that's why Maggie had to leave and go to a new community. Cause she like, I can't stand to see this nigga's face. It's,
right, we hadn't even seen him.
So, yeah, I think we're gonna see him next week when they do the blacksmith storyline. So, I think it's over Alden, man. I think they fell out over a man and they could not get it back together, Miss Smart. You asked for our thoughts and now you have them. Alright, that's it for this week, man. Thank you so much to everybody who, listened to the show. Everybody that shares it. We appreciate y'all, seriously, and we appreciate y'all listening to our recap and writing in feedback and all that stuff, and we'll be back for the winter the fall finale next week.
And y'all just got an episode of This Too Much.
Yeah, this morning me and Bossy did This Too Much for the last two episodes of This Is Us. We put that out. We also are doing Nerd Off on Friday after on Black Friday, and it'll be at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and it should be me, Karen, Chris, Aaron, and Bacon.
Yay!
So it'll be a very special Black Friday edition of the Nerd Off. Enjoy your football and your turkeys and all that stuff, guys. Also, yeah, there's some spoiler reviews out. We did Widows.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't put it out yet, but we already did a spoiler review for If Bill Street Could Talk, which was great.
It really was.
And hopefully we'll be able to see like Creed and Wreck-It Ralph too. Like, we'll hopefully we get to see some more movies this week. Making sure you guys can do that. And thank you guys for tuning in and checking us out. We really do appreciate y'all, man. Like, Thanksgiving is coming and I'm thankful for a lot this year. I'm thankful for all the opportunities that we've gotten this year. Like, I swear every time I open my email, it feels like somebody else has sent something that they would like us to do, you know, which has really been cool because there's a lot of people out here making products, being creative, and they just don't get the traction and people don't check them and all that stuff. Thankful for Karen. Obviously, you know, you're the best, like co-host, wife, right, partner, business partner, all that stuff. And I wouldn't be doing any of this without you. And I'm thankful for our friends, like, you know, these relationships we've cultivated for over the years at this point. I mean, we've known some of these people 10 years now.
Over the quote unquote internet that some people didn't think was real when it first started popping.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the people that are in the chat, you know, that watch us live, the people that watch us later, the people that just listen to us audio form, the people that check us out and they communicate with us on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. You know, I know that I can be a bit standoffish or a bit, you know, like I'm not, you know, I'm a bit introverted and I'm not always the easiest person to get a read on and stuff, but I honestly am thankful that people care enough about us to do the stuff that, like, send us articles or to hit us up when something happens or to think about us or to, you know, to let us know, you know, this episode made me laugh, this joke was funny, the people that use our hashtag on social media, all the people that have left us 5-star reviews.
Yes,
there's so many people that aren't getting that stuff
And I'm not saying they don't deserve it, they just aren't getting it.
Right.
And I would never take it for granted, because no one owes a shit. You know, so.
And y'all, our fans, you guys go above and beyond when you don't have to, you know, on top of piggyback on top of what you said, you guys made it possible for us to do a live show. You know, hundreds of people came out just to see us. And right. That means the world. Y'all drove, y'all flew, people bought tickets that I can't make it, but here's my money.
Right.
You allow other people to go who couldn't afford or didn't have the opportunity to go. And that shows, the love that, you guys have for each other and for the community. And, you know, you guys helped us build this.
Yeah, people wonder why we work so hard and
right.
Specifically like why I work so hard and we put out so much content and stuff like that sometimes. But it's because I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I have a very fortunate existence. And I will never take that shit for granted, you know? Like, this is one of the reasons I try not to be rude to folks.
Right.
That just want to reach out and talk to us on the podcast. It's one of the, I'm sure it sounds wishy-washy to people and shit sometimes, but it's one of the reasons I try to be considerate, because I hope people have that same consideration for me one day and for where people are coming from, and put that vibe out into the earth, into the world, so that we can treat each other better, you know? And I hope that, you know, if you're, I said on Twitter, and if you have a black business, I put a tweet out, quote this tweet, let me know, I'll retweet it. Black Friday, I hope people are using, you know, Black Friday specials and stuff, mm-hmm. support black businesses, all that stuff, man. I'm thankful for that, man. We sometimes it's easy to let the negative, let the naysayers, let the interactions that go wrong kind of overtake the vibe that you're on. But because I have a good safety net around me of good people, because we have support and real love out there, we have really been able to navigate things. I've watched people fall into just pits of despair this year. Mm-hmm. I've watched people burn down things they built for years. I watched people like turn against people that don't wish them any harm. You know, I've watched that, and I feel like especially in this climate, it's easy to lose track of the things that we really are fortunate, we really are privileged to have. Cause like I said, nobody owes a shit. So thank you. You know what I mean? Our sponsors, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like these people put money in our pockets to be like, can you do your show? And yes, yeah, an exchange, but they could have found another show to do that too. They could have found another way to advertise. They could have put something on Facebook instead, and they chose to spend their money with us. And it really warms my heart when I see our audience take advantage of those things. You know, a lot of audiences don't, you know?
Right. And also, thank you to the fans that think about us, you know, like with Dr. Bambi and other people
right.
who work for a lot of these companies. You guys think about us and you say, well, I like them. And, you know, you write articles, you do interviews and things like that. Like, and those things might be small to you, but they're big to us. And it's one of these things where because of you guys' love for us, you guys help the show grow. You help make the show what it is. We've grown and we've evolved, just like our audience has grown and evolved. And the thing is, me and Roger challenge each other, but the fans kind of challenge us to an extent too. And it's one of the things to where it's a give and take. And I am very happy and I'm very thankful to be in a very positive place in my life right now. And it's like the older you get, for me, the older you get, the better life becomes. And it's one of these things where I am just happy and thankful for where we are right now. I don't know what the future holds, but for where we are right now, I'm very thankful. And I want to say thank you to every single person that listens or has listened.
All the people that share it.
You retweet.
Like
that
have been part of this journey, man. The people we've been able to interview, the people that have been guests, the people we've been guests on their shows. All that stuff helps. And, you know, I'm not taking it for granted. You know, mm-hmm. I think about sitting in that cubicle and shit. I think about the way people treat folks that at work, the way people treat us in our lives. And, you know, a lot of these things would not be possible if people didn't just like pick up on our vibe and like enjoy it and feel like they're part of something and feel like they know the real us and feel like we're authentic and they root for us. Like, I can't imagine it. We have an Amazon wish list. That's already by itself something that someone had to write in and be like, y'all need to have a wish list. But motherfuckers are always giving us something. Like, just like, I put some candles on there, candles show up. Like, it's just like, that's something that I don't feel entitled to. I'm mm-hmm. always shocked when it happens, but the point is, it's really been a dope journey and it's really been fun so far. And it really is other people coming in and appreciating us and letting us like be ourselves that has made this worthwhile. So thank you. Yes. Hope you guys all have a happy Thanksgiving. I know people, you know, are too woke to celebrate it sometimes, but I'm not. We not even doing like a big meal or nothing this year. We just gonna go hang out with my parents and stuff, and that's cool. Like, I think I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for all that stuff. So hoping to send some good vibes and positive thanks for you guys and to all y'all that are like
traveling. Be safe,
everyone that's traveling, everyone that's missing loved ones right now, stuff like that. Just know that y'all are in our thoughts and y'all are in our hearts, and you know, just you still have the family and the loved ones that have been placed in your path to be here for you anyway. So hope, you know, happy gobble gobble, enjoy your turkeys. Nobody poke holes in the plates of anybody's collard greens. All right, until tomorrow, I love you.
Are we gonna be back tomorrow?
I'm sorry, until Saturday, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.